Blog Talk Radio.
All right, keep it live, keep it live, very appropriate for tonight's program. Oh, by the way, my name is Daryl Clark, and yes, you are, again, at the right place, at the right time. You've ventured into the Progressive News Weekly Zone, where we keep it live, bringing you news and information that's called, gathered, collected, and presented from around the country and around the world in some cases. It's news, yes, that you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you. It's news, we like to say, that is empowering, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, hopefully instilling, such that you will get involved and make a difference. Because as this news and information is for you, by you, and of you, as our Constitution here in America implies, it's interactive, requiring you to truly get involved to make a difference. No talking heads here. We like to refer to ourselves, thinking somewhat old school, as mouse warriors. And some of you may not understand that language, but if you go back, and some of you are still using this apparatus, but if you go back maybe 10 years, 15 for sure, you might recall a little device that you'd use with your computer known as a mouse. And so with that, we're finding that there's power in that computer. And if you partake to utilize that power to make a difference, a positive difference, you too can be a mouse warrior. And so, yes, we sometimes like to refer as mouse warriors. So, as you partake in this conversation this evening, and I say partake because we always encourage you, the listener, to get involved, not just after the fact, after the information is disseminated, but while the information is being disseminated. Because that thought or those thoughts that you and or your friends and loved ones and colleagues may have with regard to the subject matter may be just the catalyst that's needed to move that ideal forward. If you have suggestions, a guest or a topic that you'd like to see us present in some future program, do send me an email. Reach out at Daryl, that's D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ CLA18 at MSN.com. Daryl _ CLA18 at MSN.com. And I will certainly reply to you and will consider the suggestion, guest, and or topic. We'll vet it to make sure that there's legitimacy there and it's grounded in fact. Because that's what we're about. If you're hearing it on Progressive News, there's some root. When I say some root, I'm talking it is rooted in fact. And you'll be able to do your research on it and validate that. So we're always looking for new information and knowledge that we can share with the masses. Because much of our programming does come from you, the listener. And I'll take a moment to say thank you for these 9+, about 10 years of programming that many of you have been involved with over the years. And at a point in time, we will do an anniversary program or programs, because a 10-year is a milestone. And I'm so proud to be able to say that. And so this evening, as with tradition here on Progressive News Weekly, we have another insightful program that I believe you're truly going to walk away saying, wow, I didn't know that. And I need to look into this a little bit more, or a lot more. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. You know, every month there's some theme that is supposedly representing that month. And it's gotten to the point where there's, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 themes in a given month. And everybody wants to have their theme for that month. But one of the themes for the month of September, and I know some of you might be thinking something like, you know, National Hispanic Month or, you know, Grandparents Month, but it's Healthy Aging Month. And those two may indeed be true, by the way, those two that I formerly mentioned. But it's Healthy Aging Month. And so health and aging is near and dear to me and what I've been studying and practicing for approaching 20 years now, as many of you know. And I thought I would take some time in these next 2 weeks and 3 weeks to spend a significant amount of programming time on that topic of healthy aging. We're about to enter into sugar season, which I like to call anytime you go into late October and you have Halloween and followed by Thanksgiving and what they call the holidays. And with that goes, of course, the cakes and pies and cookies and candy and all the rest of those things that involve a significant amount of sweets. We have to be careful with that because we have an overconsumption, generally speaking, of ingesting sweets. And it's highly acidic, and it's highly inflammatory, and it probably causes more problems than the average person realizes. So that's a health issue. Also, the weather begins to change as we go in through the seasons from summer into autumn, and the temperatures begin to drop as opposed to begin to rise. And we often affiliate that with sickness, disease, flu, colds, asthma, other respiratory situations, and immune system issues. And so this is an apropos time to talk about healthy aging. And it doesn't imply that you're old. And I believe some folks look at this theme of healthy aging and say, oh, this is for seniors or this is for adults. No, healthy aging starts when you take your first breath, when we take our first breath. That's when healthy aging begins. So for those of you who are listeners who are our younger sect, I'm proud to say our listenership ranges from teens, late teens. We have some mature teens who tune in from time to time. You know, all the way up, 60, 70, 80. So from 17 to 87, We have a broad range of listeners, and healthy aging is important to every single individual in that range. And I would say, as I mentioned, even from the day we take our first breath. So we're going to be talking more about healthy aging, and not just so much from the perspective of what we should be doing. You know, I talk about those six keys. Someone brought to my attention, I left one of them off the last time I mentioned it. I didn't even realize it. But those six keys to health, you know, the things that we want to make sure that we're getting, that we're doing, you know, such as getting, well, let's start with probably the most important thing, oxygen. You know, we must be getting oxygen. There are some studies that say a highly oxygenated body is a healthy body. But, of course, that's barring certain things in the environment that we are exposing ourselves to. So oxygen would be very, very important. You can go weeks without food. Indeed, some have gone months. And days, and some have gone weeks without water. But I want to see someone go beyond a day without oxygen. So oxygen would be number one. And then, of course, I just mentioned water, very important. And then, of course, food, or I like to just refer to it as a nutrition. You know, making sure you're getting your protein and your good fats, and your minerals and vitamins. And so then there are three other things that we need to make sure that we're getting. Of course, we have to be getting our rest. The body cannot survive without rest. My dear mentor and friend, Dick Gregory, which I can't refer to enough, because he taught me so much over these last 10 years that I was blessed to be able to talk with him on a regular basis, a one-on-one. And we would have conversations in the mornings because that's the only time I realized I could catch Dick. And one of the things he always used to emphasize is rest. And for those of you who have heard him on the program, he would always say, you know, two of the major problems we have is dehydration and not getting enough rest. And I used to want to toss it back at Dick and say, you know, Dick, as busy as you are, on the road over 200 days a year. Dick was on the road over 200 days a year, folks. That's a lot. When I say on the road, I'm not talking about down the street like we go to work. I mean traveling around the world. But we have to get our rest. And I'm not talking 1 or 2 hours and you're up and at it again. Because the body will shut down on you. So you got to be getting rest. And you have to be getting your exercise. Movement is critical. That old adage, use it or lose it, could never be more true. There is something called atrophy. Try not using a muscle for a month. I mean, literally not using it at all. The cell memory will begin to deplete. The muscle tissue itself will lose its tone. So you have to, and that's every muscle. I mean, from your major joints, on your knees and your hip, your shoulders, your arm, ankles, to the most minute muscles, you know, the eyelids, blaring of the nose, that's a muscle. You ever see somebody blare their nose? Sometimes it's disgusting. But anyway, it's important that we have exercise and that we move. And that most important muscle, the heart, it needs exercise. And then that's five. The sixth important thing that we must be getting is elimination. So, and when I say elimination, if you aren't having a bowel movement, you're going to die. It's just that simple. Oh, you may go a couple days. I've known, and as a practitioner, health practitioner, I've had cases where people have gone more than a few days, approaching a week, believe it or not. Naturally, they've been very, very ill. You know, there's a document that is true or not stated that John Wayne, I just mentioned his name, there's so many, because he's so famous. Who doesn't know John Wayne? Raise your hand. Had 50 pounds of fecal matter in his intestinal system when the autopsy was done. So we have to be very, very cognizant that we're having a good transition in terms of a regular elimination, because the intestinal system is approximately 30 feet long for the average adult. The small intestine, about 24, 27 feet. The larger intestine, about 6 to 8 feet. So that's a lot of feet that's encompassed in that rib cage. And if you're not getting a bowel movement, that food is sitting there. And what happens to food if you leave it on the table? I dare anyone to put some food on, and I'm talking natural food, not margarine, which you can leave on the table forever. But put food on the table and then go away for a vacation for 2 weeks. You come back, it's going to be putrid, it's going to be flies and everything else on it, right? Bacteria. No different inside when you've got 98 degrees temperature. So you're going to begin to what we call self-intoxicate. And you must be getting a bowel movement. So if you're not getting a bowel movement at least every day, check yourself. I know someone say, well, I get them every 2 days. Check yourself. So I don't want you to spend too much time on bowel movements. That's a whole program in itself. Now, those are things, as an example, that we need to be making sure we're doing. Getting air, getting oxygen, getting exercise, getting water, food, nutrition, bowel movements, rest, exercise. I want to talk about some things we need to avoid. These are things we really need to avoid. And I have a very special guest, friend and colleague, who's going to be joining me in this dialogue. You've heard me talk about a few, and some of you may be thinking, oh, he's going to talk about GMO. Yeah, I probably will. Probably will, because we need to avoid genetically modified food. And I've had numerous specialists over the last 7 or 8 years that have talked about it in detail and given you numerous references to go and prove the fact. Now, just a little bit of homework. The next time you're in the supermarket, and I suspect pretty much everyone within an earshot of my voice does go into the supermarket, because I do have an adult audience, and we all have to eat at one point or another. Notice how many products are labeled non-GMO. So if you called me at the beginning of the program and I said, listen, it's important that we be mouse warriors. You can be telephone warriors. That's where you speak up and speak out and demand the change for your welfare and benefit, because that's what power really is. You know, someone I have a lot of respect for and have had numerous occasions to interface with, and in fact, I've would love to have him, and we're working to get him on our program, Dr. Naeem Akbar. Naeem Akbar, N-A-I-M, Akbar, A-K-B-A-R. He's a psychologist, and very much speaks truth to power. And he talks about power, and so he talks about a lot of other things. He is very outspoken. Just go to any bookstore, especially a black bookstore, you'll really find many of his books there. He's written more than I can shake a stick at. But go there, and one of my, I won't go into Naeem Akbar. I was going to say one of my favorite books. But he used to talk about power and ask in his speaking engagements, what is power? And, of course, everyone would say money, and money is power. What power really is the ability to influence for your own well-being. And you don't have to have money to do that. I'll give you an example. If you have influence in your neighborhood, you have power to elect or to de-elect a council person. You don't have to run for office. Just petition for the candidate of your choice or against the candidate of your choice with some fervor. So power really is that influence. Now, with that said, back to my original point here is it's important that we be mouse warriors or telephone warriors and speak out, because there's no way that you would be seeing the labeling that you see now of anti-GMO if it weren't for telephone, mouse warriors, activist warriors that are speaking truth to power. You know, every company wants to get on their label and their marketing non-GMO. We're still not there. We have a long way to go, but we're getting there. You're seeing more all natural than you've ever seen before. And I, as a naturopath, being in the natural health business for over 17 years, have been utilizing some of the things that we're just seeing in the last 6 years. Turn on a commercial, all you see is probiotics now. Now I've even, and I get articles every day from around the country, if not the world, on health topics. There's even the concern that there may be an overuse of probiotics, which that's another program in and of itself. So I'm saying all of that to say that our guest, our special guest this evening, is truly going to enlighten your brains with some things that you want to avoid. Yes, GMO would be one of them, but that's more obvious now than ever before. Vaccines is another. Yeah, it's in my deepest belief that they're dangerous. Drugs, period. Now, I'm not trying to disparage the doctor that you have who is prescribing drugs to you. There may be some cases where maybe in that moment it might be of a benefit. But it all counts if you can avoid the use of drugs, not just illegal, but legal. And in some cases, more so the legal, i.e. marijuana. I mean, there are some drugs on the market legally that are far more dangerous than marijuana. And I'm not trying to advocate for marijuana. And no, I don't smoke marijuana anymore. I mean, we've all done things in college that, you know, we look back. But anyway, getting back to our topic here, keeping it live. For those of you who are late, I opened up with one of my favorite cuts, Keep It Live, Cleveland's own Daz Band, of course, homegrown. And it was so apropos because that's what we're doing, and I'm telling you, we're going to keep it live this evening. So I was talking with my colleague earlier, you know, just about things that we need to avoid, and he and I talk from time to time. I have so much respect. I respect anyone that's willing to speak truth to power and is trying to enlighten the masses. So I have an enormous amount of respect for this individual, and I believe you will too, for those of you who are not familiar, after this program is done. So we were having a discussion, and I was talking about, you know, healthy aging, and we just came up with this concept of not what to try to do or take, but what not to. And that's where we will pick up right now. The guest that I'm referring to is none other than Mr. Tony Grant. Tony Grant is a research journalist, and he's been doing what he does for many years. He has been noted on various radio and television around the world. And tonight, we're just going to open some dialogue up. One of the things that we had discussed the last time that Mr. Tony Grant was on the air with us was various vaccines, the danger thereof, and drugs, various drugs, and the danger thereof. And so tonight, I'd like to just start with a topic that he and I had a discussion with, and that is osteoporosis. I have a significant female audience. I'm so proud to say. And Mr. Tony Grant, who's a broadcast journalist, over 40 years, and he specializes in medical research, has been doing a number of deep research analyzing. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring to the airwaves Mr. Tony Grant. Tony?
Thank you so much, Brother Darrell, for your invitation, and it's a privilege to be able to present to your audience. I'm looking forward to talking about osteoporosis. I think we are all, when we talk about healthy aging, we're all looking forward to being able to move forward in life in a way that enables us to maintain our health, our well-being, our happiness. And there's a great fear that when you age, it's inevitable that unpleasant things happen, because we see so many people around us who are elderly and they don't look like they're in good shape. However, we're going to bring them some good news today. We're going to bring good news. Now, if you want to start off talking about osteoporosis, I can launch right into it.
Let's
osteoporosis
it.
Is something that we have been told is something that's caused by being old or being past menopause, postmenopausal, and this is 100% false. See, the problem is that there's so much science that never reaches the people. As intelligent medical consumers, we should finally be ready to admit that the American public is being deceived by slick advertising, clever food marketing, and we, to move forward into healthy aging, we need to be sophisticated. We need to be aware of what's going on around us, and we need to be able to see through all the advertisements. Now, osteoporosis is unknown in parts of the world where the elderly women maintain their adherence to the traditional diet, a traditional plant diet. In places like India and China and Japan and other places around the world where there is little or no meat or dairy consumed, there is no osteoporosis, no matter how old the female population becomes. So when the doctor tells you, well, I have to give you this treatment to prevent osteoporosis, he's not telling you, you can prevent osteoporosis all by yourself. Just don't eat meat or eggs or chicken or fish or flesh of any kind. Don't eat dairy products such as milk, cheese, ice cream. And always consume an abundance of highly absorbable calcium, which will be green leafy vegetables, collard greens, turnip greens, kale, okra, mustard greens. These are all traditional approaches that many of us are old enough to remember our parents and grandparents reminding us about. Now, your alternative, if you believe what you're being told, the future of healthy aging really depends upon you having an independent source of information and wisdom, so you don't have to believe what you're being told. But if you believe what you're being told, then your doctor, if you're a female and you're over 45 and approaching menopause, your doctor's going to offer you something called an osteoporosis drug that is in the category known as the bisphosphonate category. That bisphosphonate term is not going to be familiar, but you'll know the brand names: Boniva, Fosamax, Reclast, Actonel, Didronel, Scalid, Fosavance, Aredia, Atelvia, Bondronat, Zometa, and the brand new kid on the block, Prolia. And the reason why I'm coming to you with this is because Prolia is being advertised so heavily. Brother Darrell, they're telling lies on this Prolia commercial. They're telling lies. They're not telling people the truth. The stuff they're telling in the Prolia commercial, now, of course, we know how all these commercials work, right? They always have blue skies and lots of green grass and happy people, and they're all smiling and enjoying each other. But what they're saying to you isn't true. Now, I have taken the time to transcribe some of the text or some of the script in this commercial. It says here, if you have postmenopausal osteoporosis and a high risk for fracture, I can tell you that Prolia is proven to help protect bones from fracture. Now, Brother Darrell, this is completely
tell
false.
The truth.
Tell the truth.
This is completely false. Prolia does not prevent fracture. Prolia and all of the other bisphosphonate drugs, the Boniva, the Fosamax, are now known to be destroying women's bone. Let's go right to the science. We start out with FDA warning, 13th of October 2010. These osteoporosis drugs cause catastrophic bone fractures. So now, for those who think this is that wild guy, Tony Grant, no, this is the FDA, who is not really on our side. The FDA really works for the food industry and for the drug industry. So by the time the FDA is now bad-mouthing a drug, it's got to be bad. Now, these drugs, these osteoporosis drugs, also cause kidney damage and death. That's FDA warning, 1st of September, 2001. We go on. These drugs cause cancer of the esophagus. FDA warning, 21 July, 2011. These drugs cause heart valve damage. All this is what you risk instead of simply changing your diet, and so that you can be one of the many women from around the world who reach an advanced old age and never have any bone problems. But in addition, these same osteoporosis drugs, we're talking about Fosamax, Boniva, reclassed Actonel, Didronel, Scalid, Fosavance, Aredia, Itelvia, Bondronaut, Zometa, and the new one, Prolia, they cause incapacitating bone, joint, and musculoskeletal pain. This is FDA warning, 7 January 2008. And last, the drugs cause fever, chills, myalgia, which is muscle pain, arthralgia, which is joint pain, and severe general pain, FDA warning, 7th of January 2008. Now, your doctor is not going to tell you about this. So you have to have your strategy. The strategy you should have is don't believe what they tell you. Do your own homework. All this information is very easy to find on the Internet. When I was young, which is a long time ago, we had to go to the library and look in the card catalog and then go to see the librarian and find out if the book was available in the stacks. But now all this information is available. So if any of you have friends, loved ones who are taking bisphosphonate drugs, be aware of the real story. These drugs do not protect your bones. And once you take a bisphosphonate drug, it never leaves your body. There is no known human enzyme system that can eliminate these drugs from your body. And what they do, the way they work, I should explain how they work. Your doctor is going to tell you you have better bone scan numbers if you take your bisphosphonate drug, Boniva, reclassed. I mean, I keep naming these drugs because people know the brand names. They don't know the term bisphosphonate, Fosavance, Aredia. Prolia is the new one on the block. And he's right. You will show better bone density numbers. What he doesn't tell you, what doctors really don't even know. Bisphosphonate drugs kill your bones. They destroy the cells in your bones that enable you to make new bone tissue. What bisphosphonate drugs do is they prevent your bones from making new bone tissue. And so you have to live with the bones you have, the bone cells you have. They get older and older and older. And the older your bone cells are, the better your bone scans. It's just that eventually old bone cells are brittle and they break. And women have been experiencing catastrophic bone damage. The heaviest bone in the body, femurs, the thigh bone, has been shattering in women who are just stepping off the curb and their femur shatters. Women are chewing their food and their jaw bones are shattering, all because they take these drugs like Boniva, Fosamax, Reclass, Didronel, Actonel, Zometa, and the new one, Prolia. So, healthy aging is going to, number one, involve questioning everything that's being suggested. In this case, you should urge everyone you know never to take any one of these bisphosphonate drugs. There can never be any advantage to it. Your bone density scores will improve while your bones are being destroyed. And when you have bone breakage after taking these bisphosphonate drugs, there's nothing that can be done for you because they kill your bones. Your bones are dead. They cannot actually put a cast on you and wait for the bone to heal. Your bone is never going to heal. When you discover that you have the bone breakage from taking these osteoporosis drugs, that's the end for you. It's a wheelchair. The wheelchair is where you go next. So please warn all your friends and family, Daryl.
Tony?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm just suggesting.
I thought we lost you. That's very good. Let me open the airwaves up now. For some reason, I thought I lost you.
No, I'm here.
Okay. The number is 347-838-9142. We're talking with Mr. Tony Grant, research journalist, medical, in the medical field. And he's sharing with us information that you're just not going to hear on mainstream media. I have to see if Cecil can help me out. I'm getting an echo on our headset.
You sound good here. It's a very difficult thing. We need to try to go further than what we're being told. I have here an interesting bit of promotion. You find it in the drugstore. This is a drugstore chain. I'm not going to name the chain. And it's a nice-looking person who looks like a nurse on the cover. And the copy here is, shield yourself from the flu. They're selling flu shots, right? Now, I'll go down to the part where it says what people should be asking. Will getting the flu shot make me sick? And it says here, the flu vaccine cannot give you the flu. Brother Darrell, the problem is that we don't have any way of immediately being able to be armed with the information we need to see the falsehoods here. Dr. Jonas Salk, any of you remember the Salk vaccine, the Salk polio vaccine?
Yeah.
He disagrees with what is being said here in this promotional thing to sell the flu. He says, quoting Dr. Jonas Salk now, virus vaccines against flu and polio, for example, may in each instance cause the disease it is intended to prevent. This is the formulator of the flu vaccine saying that my vaccine, the polio vaccine, saying my polio vaccine and flu vaccines can give you the illness that it's going to prevent. So that means that this circular coming from this chain store drugstore saying the flu vaccine cannot give you the flu, they're disagreeing with the science. There's more science. We have science from the Lancet, Lancet Infectious Disease, says that the annual flu shot cripples your immune system defense against the flu. And from the Public Library of Science Medicine, the annual flu shot increases your risk of getting flu infection. So, in general, healthy aging is going to require that we go further, go beyond what the people who are selling us stuff want us to believe.
You know, this ties back to something else that we want to avoid. The questions are, if that's the case, that we should be avoiding this vaccination push that's about to take place now, why is it that schools are making it mandatory? Some hospitals, and we've seen many cases in years past in New York where some of the nurses were being forced and they protested against it, having to be vaccinated. Why is it that the schools are saying, well, if your child is unvaccinated, he's putting all the other children or she's putting all the other children at risk? I know it's an easy question, but I'm going to give you some easy ones to start with, Tony. Why is that? I mean,
The people who are selling you the vaccines, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and they have to keep you thinking that these vaccines are mandatory. The law in New York, you mentioned New York, for example, is that no child can be barred from public school for any reason whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that your school administrator knows the law. There are many school administrators who think they're doing the right thing. They're following the law when they say this child can't come here. The other thing is that New York also offers a religious exemption. And so anyone who can honestly say that the ingredients in this vaccine, ingredients like pig gelatin, ingredients like pig blood, 23 different vaccines have the aborted, have the tissue, the cells from aborted babies, murdered babies, are in 23 different vaccines. And for those who say, I'd rather not put that in my child, that means you qualify for a religious exemption. For someone who says, we don't eat pork, we don't use pork, and we never interact with aborted, with dead aborted baby tissue, you can qualify for a religious exemption. You can merely, the easiest way to do it is to go to the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC, National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. Go to your state and look up religious exemption requirements and fulfill the requirements and get your exemption. Every state but Mississippi and West Virginia has the religious exemption. And so I'm saying that the mandatory nature of these vaccinations is a fraud. There are no laws that require you. Now, of course, they're trying to cook up some laws, like in California, but there are no laws that require you to get vaccinated. An employer can decide not to employ you. He can say, well, I don't want to hire you. But he can't dismiss you if you say, I'm not going to get vaccinated. It's against the law.
Talk about mercury and vaccine.
Well, of course, we all know that mercury is the most toxic substance known to science after plutonium. And plutonium is radioactive. So that means that mercury comes before uranium and a whole bunch of the radioactive stuff. Mercury is more toxic than all of those except for plutonium. So why are we getting it put in vaccines? And why are they trying to pretend to us that, oh, it's okay, it's a safe level? There is no safe level of mercury, certainly not for your child. And why is it they never talk about the fact that there has been one single human clinical study done on thimerosal? Thimerosal is the form of mercury that they use in these vaccines. But they never talk about this study because when Eli Lilly managed to get a hold of human volunteers who were willing to participate in this study about thimerosal, the form of mercury in vaccines, all the human subjects died. Nobody survived. So the idea that we have to get vaccinated because it's a law, we need to check and make sure that what we're being told is true because it's not true. The idea that mercury is safe because they figured out just the right dose, there is no safe dose of mercury. And so in general, healthy aging is going to involve breaking through the falsehoods to the truth so that we can be empowered to have good health.
You know, it's unfortunate that we're being exposed to things that are toxically dangerous. And I may have mentioned this on last week's program. I know I mentioned it from time to time, but if anyone is questioning, okay, is this a conspiracy theory? Why would the government try to destroy or hurt or maim its own citizens? And we're going to talk about 911 in a moment as well. Why did I mention that when I said, why would a person question the government hurting its own? You figure it. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But I would suggest that you consider this. I believe it's unquestionable. There's no one on this air or anywhere, white, right-wing, left-wing, Jew, Muslim, Christian, male, female, straight, gay, whatever, rich, poor, is going to deny that cigarettes have been proven to cause cancer. I mean, it's all in the labels now, right?
You got it on the
label. Can't you go in a store and buy something that's proven to cause cancer? Do I have to say more?
Very true. Very true. I think that everything depends upon the choices we make, and we have to make our choices based upon not what someone's trying to sell us, but we have to make our choices based upon what the best available science is telling us. And that's the way that you handle healthy aging. If you're going to be doing everything that the doctor says to do, well, your doctors are trained in a system that is controlled by the drug industry. Now, most people have difficulty believing, for example, what we talked about just now regarding the osteoporosis drugs. How could our doctors be prescribing drugs to protect bones that really destroy bones? Because your doctor is not the expert that you think your doctor is. I'm not blaming doctors. These are all people who go through onerous, burdensome training to be able to get their certification. These doctors, these nurses, nurse practitioners, the physician's assistants, surgeons, all these folks have paid their dues, but they have not been given all the science. The notion that we have that, well, if you're a doctor and you go to medical school, you've been given the finest education that medical science can provide, that is not true. The thing that we don't know, and I'll give you a little brief bit of history here. The medical educational system in America was hijacked by the drug industry pursuant to a meeting that occurred in New York City on the afternoon of December 28th, 1908. It was a meeting of the Council on Medical Education. I'll try to be brief, but it's very interesting. The Council on Medical Education sounds like a very upstanding organization, but it was really run by a cutthroat, a man named George Simmons. They called him Doc Simmons, but he wasn't a doctor. He had never been to medical school. And his source of income was from massage parlors. You can imagine what a massage parlor was like in 1908, and abortion clinics. And he had to stand trial several times for murdering the women upon whom he had performed abortions, which, of course, was illegal back then. So Doc Simmons was running the Council on Medical Education. Needless to say, the people who were involved with the Council on Medical Education didn't really know anything about medical education. What they were was they were gangsters. They were trying to get all the medical schools in the country to agree to accept the Council on Medical Education's seal of approval. But they were known to be gangsters. So all the medical schools were saying, go away. Doc, get out of here. Go away. Until this meeting that occurred December 28, 1908, where the man who owned Sterling Drugs sent an emissary, a very, very sophisticated emissary. He sent Henry S. Pritchett, the president of the Carnegie Foundation, to the meeting of the Council on Medical Education to tell them, guys, I'm going to bankroll you and I'm going to back your play in return for you promising to always dispense drugs as medicine. This is the true story of how drugs came to be thought of as the best medicine. In the ensuing 5 years, the owner of Sterling Drugs, together with some other drug companies, bought off every medical school in the country, Harvard Medical School, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, Tulane, you name the medical school, Johns Hopkins. Now, when people hear that, they say, this guy is nutty. How can you set up a conspiracy with all? No, it wasn't like that. They didn't go and say, hey, look, it's got in a smoky room. They don't work like that. But I say how they do work, I'll tell you, so everyone understands how these things go. They went to each medical school and say, you know, you have a great campus here. And it looks like you could use a new laboratory building, and our company is willing to donate $2 million for the building of that new laboratory building. All we ask is that we have 5 permanent seats on your board of directors. And this is how the drug industry, by 1913, had extracted an agreement from every medical school in the country to let them control the curriculum so that drugs would be thought from thenceforth to be the best medicine. It's not because of science. It's because of commerce.
So by 1913, the drug industry basically had their fingers in every medical school in the country. Is that what you're saying?
By 1913, they had permanent board seats on every medical school in the country, from which vantage point they controlled and made sure that all of the fledgling technologies involving natural medicine would never be taught in medical school.
I do know that you made a good point that there are some egregious doctors out there who know better and don't do better. However, much of our physicians' education does come from the pharmaceutical industry.
Well,
if you think
yes.
about how many times you're in your doctor's office, for those of you who frequent the doctor's office, how often you see pharmaceutical reps. I mean, if you're willing to, well, just from my perspective, sell your soul, sell pharmaceuticals, they make a lot of money. Pharmaceutical salespeople, and I was in sales myself for some almost 10 years. In a major corporation. They did very, very well. But pharmaceutical reps are one of the highest paid reps in the country. And with good reason, because it's one of the richest industries in the world. Mr. Grant.
It's a highly sought after job. People who are the golden boys and golden girls of you know, in our communities, up-and-coming people want a job like that because it pays so well. And you have to be someone who's articulate and at least can present yourself well, extremely attractive or at least magnetic, because the drug companies have their choice. They can choose from among some of the best, best-looking, best, most articulate people because it's such a high-paying job. And our doctors, you're right, all the doctors right now who are being told by these drug reps to sell Prolia, the osteoporosis drug. It's a very good point you make. They don't know anything about Prolia. Our doctors don't know any of the things we talked about regarding osteoporosis drug tonight. They don't know that Prolia is one of a group of drugs that started out as a chemotherapy drug. They don't know that Prolia will destroy the women's bones. When they prescribe Prolia, it's because they got such a glowing recommendation from the drug rep, and the drug rep may have come with free tickets to something, and they may have come with meals. The drug rep that I knew when I was helping out at a clinic in Harlem always brought food, always asked me what I wanted to eat. I was the one who had to ask. He had to go somewhere else because all I asked for was natural food, right? So what we don't understand, that we need to understand, is that even the most earnest doctor, the one when you gaze into his or her eyes, they look to be so earnest, but they don't even know. They don't know what we just talked about regarding Prolia. They, as you say, are being educated by the drug rep, and the drug rep's job is to never tell anything wrong or bad about their drug.
Let me ask. So then we should be educating our doctors?
Without a doubt. Because doctors do eventually reach the point where when they hear how bad a drug is, they become not just reluctant to harm their patients, but also fearful of lawsuits if they continue to prescribe it. And so, yes, by all means, we should let doctors know there is no bisphosphonate drug. None of the first-line osteoporosis drugs, Boniva, Fosamax, Zometa, none of them protect bones. They all destroy bones, all of them. There's no exception, and even after you finish taking them, in other words, you don't ever want to take a single dose because they stay in your body and can start destroying your bones even if you haven't taken them for years.
Tony, you know, just as a naturopath nutritionist, the questions always come up, okay, what's my alternative? I mean, the doctors are saying you can do this, and it disheartens me when I hear a client of mine come to me and say, well, my doctor said, you know, I'll die. I think it's one of the most egregious things that anyone who wants to call him or herself a professional could ever claim. It's just a horrible thing, and even if the intention is good to try to scare a person to do something that's going to be in their benefit, I just believe that there's another approach. But what would you say to the individual who says, well, my doctor said that, you know, I could have a choice, you know, living here in this country, to not do what he or she is recommending, but the impending result will be my death.
Well, of course, I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah, what you're saying is that the public is being sold on the inevitable need to obey what standard practice tells you to do. And this is why it's useful to have some knowledge of the history of how we came to be here, and that is that the drug industry hijacked us in 1908. And so everything that standard practice has been built to direct the doctor to do is for the purpose of selling drugs. It's not for the purpose of protecting your health. And when we think about multiple sclerosis, for example, the doctor will readily tell you, we have this drug, but it won't cure you. But the doctor has no way of knowing, because they don't teach in medical school, that Dr. Roy Swank cured multiple sclerosis back in 1947 and has been, until he died 3 or 4 years ago, he had personally been administering the cure to his patients at the University of Oregon Medical College, cured 1,900 multiple sclerosis patients. And the clinic is still open, but also it's all dietary, and so you can choose to do the dietary work at home, simply buy one of Roy Swank's books, which you can get online used for a couple of bucks. My point being that if we do our homework, what sense does it make for someone to have multiple sclerosis? He or she can be completely cured, but simply not know because we haven't reached out and done our homework. We have to look beyond what the doctors are saying because the doctors, the medical professionals, have not been given a complete education. They have been cheated. They paid their dues. They worked very hard, but they don't know everything. We have to do our own homework.
So you would say that if someone goes to the doctor, and I'm not trying to suggest this, I'm asking a question. If someone goes to the doctor and they get a diagnosis of cancer or MS or something as simple as diabetes, they need to go back and before just blindly saying, okay, or osteoporosis, and before taking this medicine, whether it's as you were just describing, Bonilla or Fosamax or any of a number of other drugs, Lipitor, whatever it is, go back and do your research first and see what your options may be. Is that where we are as a society?
That's vital, isn't it? It's vital what you're saying now because you mentioned, I think, five conditions. You mentioned statins. You mentioned osteoporosis drugs. You mentioned multiple sclerosis and cancer. We know now that the New York Times, which is not our cutting-edge revealing truth newspaper, has acknowledged that 1.3 million Americans have been misdiagnosed and been told they have cancer when they didn't have cancer at all. So this is enough reason, number one, to really want to make sure that the diagnosis is correct. With regard to multiple sclerosis, as I mentioned, you can get a copy of Dr. Roy Swank's Multiple Sclerosis Diet book. Your doctor never heard of it because they don't teach about it in medical school because they do not teach healing natural medicine in medical school. Some people ask, well, why can't we just have the best of everything, the best drugs and the best natural medicine? And the reason is natural medicine puts drugs out of business. Why would you take a diabetes drug when you could be cured of your diabetes? And so for that reason, the drug industry makes sure that natural medicine is never taught in medical school. You mentioned Lipitor or statin drugs. We know that that cholesterol can be completely controlled by a change in diet. And we mentioned osteoporosis. Anyone who has osteoporosis is only one reason. Around the world, there is no one who has osteoporosis who is on a plant-based diet. When you eat meat, milk, eggs, cheese, chicken, fish, ice cream, yogurt, butter, turkey, then the body, as a result, gives up calcium to the bloodstream to make your blood more alkaline, to convert the acidic nature of the acidic pH of the blood caused by the animal product to make it more alkaline. Your body is looking forward to one day putting that calcium back in the bones. But if you're eating meat every day or milk every day or cheese every day, then the body never gets a chance to put the calcium back, and the result is osteoporosis. So anyone who wants to reverse osteoporosis, all they have to do is reverse their lifestyle and change their diet.
Because the body will always yearn to repair itself.
Yes,
that's
your body's
the other myth,
your body.
I guess, that doctors want to try to present that, you know, the brain cells, that's a common one. You know, they never replenish. But the body's constantly attempting to repair itself. Someone there, you know, on a minor level of an experiment, paper cut. I mean, it sounds gross, but just slice your finger across the paper. It doesn't feel good, and it'll hurt for a few seconds. But you're going to bleed, albeit very minor, because these are tiny capillaries, so they'll coagulate very quickly. Just multiply that times a million, because we have, 170 trillion cells? So the body is constantly trying to heal itself, every single cell.
Yes.
And this whole thing of cancer, you have to be very careful with what's happening in our environment. I mean, we're not only injecting mercury into our children, but we're inhaling carbon dioxide. I mean, we're literally in congested areas. There's no reason there's a higher cancer rate. New Jersey, New York, where you have highly condensed area, a high number of vehicles.
Long Island breast cancer.
Wow, talk about it, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, that's a...
Because a lot of folks don't understand. We have listeners from across the country. You said Long Island breast cancer. That's a great example.
Long Island, New York is a place where people... I'm sorry, go ahead, Darryl, forgive me.
Oh, please. You just touched upon a hot button for me when I first moved to New Jersey, and I had done the research. My sister had you know, informed me, be careful. That was over 20 years. I don't date myself. 25 years ago, and I know she had lived here as short stint with her husband who was in the service. And she warned me. And from the moment I moved here and done the research, New Jersey had the highest incidence of cancer in the country, bar none. And so it had more toxic sites than any, and it's one of the smallest states, so imagine that. And then I went further and realized that Long Island was one of the most toxic areas in this country. And that's because it's a dump. It literally is. And I'm going to let you take it from there. Folks, get up on Google or on your computer and just look where Long Island is. It's basically New York City. Go ahead. Please
talk about it. Well, I'm not prepared to make a long presentation, but we do know that the concentration of women suffering, the rate of breast cancer in Long Island, New York, the Long Island, New York area, Suffolk County and Nassau County, is far beyond the norm in America. It's among it's near the top of the cancer rate of the entire nation, and there are people who have the wherewithal who move themselves and their wives out of Long Island simply to save their wives from the exposure or the risk of breast cancer there. I think that one of the things we want to talk about is that with all of these things, these dangerous drugs, the effort of the medical industry to convince you to do things like get vaccinated that are not good for you, we should mention that there is a way that you can adopt a lifestyle that can give you the strength, the empowerment to heal yourself using natural means. There are lots of publications. I'm sure you must have mentioned some of them, Darryl, in the past, but I want to just mention Prescription for Herbal Healing by Phyllis Bouch. It's a book that's been around for a while, and I'm saying that for those who feel a bit at sea regarding all these dangers, here's a book that offers a natural approach to A to Z, asthma, atherosclerosis, Bell's palsy, I'm in the B's now, breast cancer, bone cancer. It's not a be-all and end-all, but it is a good guide for people who do not want to have to depend upon whatever doctor's drugs are going to be dispensed. You can start with a natural approach if you get a copy of Prescription for Herbal Healing. Of course, we're not selling it, so it's just a recommendation. And the other one I want to recommend, Darryl, is Disease Prevention and Treatment by those folks over at Life Extension, Disease Prevention and Treatment. This is a more in-depth book in terms of its scientific approach, and they will use not just herbs but also nutritional supplements. I have the expanded fourth edition. I recommend that edition not necessarily because it's the best. It's a very good edition. But the fifth edition is going to cost you $50 or $60. I got my expanded fourth edition for $4 online. Disease Prevention and Treatment.
So those are all very recommended publications that are available. And the beautiful thing now, back when I was studying, those were, you know, must reads when I was beginning my study. But now you can, as you mentioned earlier, go right up on your computer and be discerning, because there's some information. I'm not saying everything on your computer is accurate and correct, but to be discerning. But there's so much information, and you don't have to type in anything special if you you know, feel like your doctor is telling you something that you don't want to hear. The first thing that I would do is check online and just type whatever the condition is. You know, MS, natural cures. You know, another basic book, if you want to begin studying in this area, and it's Back to Eden, one of the oldest books that you can get on herbs and natural health. It's a must for your bookshelf. So there's so many publications out there to get started, but I would agree with Mr. Grant that you never want to just succumb to allopathic medicine approach without at least giving yourself a chance to look more in-depthly. We're approaching the top of the hour while the time has flown. I know that the listeners were enamored with what you had to say, as I mentioned they would be. But, Tony, let's do this regular, on a regular basis.
By all means.
Come back, and we've got to educate in order for this country to survive. The government that we live in is run by business, and now we have the business president. And so we have to be ever more vigilant now about our own well-being. And the only way that's going to happen is it starts with education, and then it goes on to unification. And then we have to be the warriors that we're placed here to be, to make a difference. Because if that weren't the case, you wouldn't be listening to my voice, whether you're live or in the archives right now listening. So, Mr. Grant, I want to thank you for taking the time out and sharing this information. I mentioned we're going to talk a little bit about 911. We didn't get much into it, but there's so much evidence about that conspiracy, and that conspiracy theory. And you know, every year it's Patriots Day, and you know, so many people are tuning in to the mainstream media with regard to what happened and those thousands of people that were killed. But there's another side to that story that you don't hear often on mainstream. And we're going to be talking more about that, as this is, you know, still the month of 911, though we're not going to get much into it today. We're going to touch upon it next week and give you some insight on that in terms of another side of the story from mainstream media's presentation. But again, for Mr. Grant, we thank you for what you've shared with us in terms of healthy aging. Not just what to do, but what to avoid. And we just touched upon, well, one small little area. And we're going to be expanding on this in the weeks ahead as we go into that